Ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourselves for a shock.
Ready to be challenged? Maybe a little offended, but definitely shocked. This is Shock Therapy Live. Your therapy session with Nate Heitzig. We're not looking for stump the pastor questions, so put down your Devos and open your diaries. Really, this isn't systematic theology.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not at all.
This is Shock Therapy Live. Now, here's Steve-O.
Yep.
We are ready
My
to rock the
favorite
world.
Hour of the week. I kid you not.
Dude, it's good times.
I
enjoy it.
The negative.
You what?
I crap the negative.
Yeah. I don't know what that means.
It means I kid you not.
Oh.
That's Joey, my dear friend, Joey Belleville. That's what he always says.
So you just wanted to sound a little bit perverse and profane by saying crap on air, didn't you?
It is Shock Therapy Live.
Man, Steve-O, you're always hurting people.
Oh, speaking of hurting people, I walked in the other room to get something, and I walk back in here, and you jumped out of the underneath of this studio area, and I almost peed my pants. That hurt my soul. It's very rare that somebody like scares me like that. Was really good. I didn't even see you come in tonight. That was amazing.
Yes. Well, you were in the other studio kind of doing your own thing, and I cruised in, and I saw an opportunity to scare you. And
you did.
I took it.
You scared me a lottle, and
yeah.
Then you handed me a caramel apple Siler and made the world a better place.
Caramel apple Siler?
Siler, yes. Oh. He was the bad guy in Heroes.
In Heroes, yeah.
Too bad that show went down the tubes because he was an incredible villain.
And now he's Spock. So that's okay. You know, I was actually sitting down here. I came in and I sat in here for a while and I saw that you weren't coming in. So I was like, how am I going to scare him? And I was like, you know, I should like throw something. And I was like, no, that'll be too obvious. He'll know someone's in here. But I was like, if I do something with the soundboard so it like changes, he's like, how did that do that? Like, how did it get louder? So I turned the sound up.
Yep.
So it got really loud and you probably, I don't know if you were like, man, is that, what is that?
I got nervous.
Why did it do that?
I thought I had done something wrong because I produced that show. So I was like, oh no.
I wanted you to think it was a ghost.
Volume spike.
I wanted you to think it was a ghost.
I thought I just had done
something. So then you came in and I grabbed you.
Yeah. Scared me to death.
Scared you.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
But hey, to your account, you didn't curse. I was expecting a curse word or two, but there was none.
I did
you
not
pure
curse.
Of heart. You're pure of heart,
thank
Steve-O.
Thank you.
That's
funny because it's true. It's very,
it's true
very
that you're
true.
Pure of heart?
No, well, that I did not curse you know.
No, you think I was saying it like a negative, like you didn't curse, which is code
for
you really cursed.
No, I didn't. Oh. No, it's true. You're right. I very well thought I was going to. I've not been scared like that in a very long time. Anyways.
I'm proud of myself.
Yeah. Welcome to Shock Therapy Live. I am your host, Steve-O. To my right, Pastor Nate Heitzig. And in front of us, a couple computers and iPads and lots of questions to get to. Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio if you'd like to be a part of the show.
Yes.
Or you can email us, studio@MyStaticRadio.com. If you'd like to keep it anonymous.
Tonight, we're going to destroy a Horcrux.
That is right. Or you can give us a call, 505-338-3700. What's first up on the palette? I've got four questions over here.
We have lots. I'll let you pick the first one.
Oh, man. So many to choose from. Well, we got an easy one. Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. Let's kick it off there, shall we?
Let's do it.
From Pamela, who says, is it okay to get tattoos if you're a Christian? Easy answer. Is it okay? Yes.
Yes.
The real question you should be asking yourself is, should I get a tattoo? Yeah, it's okay. You can, because there's only one place in Scripture that actually talks about tattoos. That would be in Leviticus chapter 19 that talks about not marking your body in honor of the dead, because the pagans would do that. They would specifically mark themselves, sometimes with the ashes of their fallen brethren, in honor of a loved one who died, and they would scar, they would mark and quote-unquote tattoo themselves. That's the only place that it talks about really marking your body. More so cutting, really, in that place, but people like to use that for tattoos. And that's really the only place it talks about it. Of course, that is the Levitical law, in which case if you are trying to go by that as far as tattoos, you cannot shave the sides of your face, you cannot wear clothing with two different kinds of cloth, you cannot...
And all churches that have Sunday services are... horrible.
Yeah, yeah.
Profane.
Absolutely, right? So so that's the only place. So can you? Yes. Do you have the liberty as a Christian to get a tattoo? Sure. Should you? I don't know, yeah. Honestly. We did a show on this. You can check out the podcast, mystaticradio.com/shocktherapylive.
You know, it is a difficult thing, because one, there's a lot of people that are stumbled by it.
Mm-hmm.
But two, I've also seen tattoos, that have glorified the Lord and actually brought people, into a chance to receive Christ, as oddly as that sounds. So I've seen both, and I think that tattoos can be used as a means to convey the gospel. And I've seen some people that have tattoos that beautifully convey a message about Christ, and something specifically having to do with the Bible that opens up conversations with people that might never have asked questions about the Bible. But at the same time, I've seen Christians who have tattoos, and I've seen other Christians look at those tattoos and be extremely stumbled by them.
Right.
For instance, in Africa, in case anyone's planning on going to Africa with tattoos, in Africa, if you have tattoos, they believe that that's a extreme sign of depravity and of sin. And actually, I went on a mission trip there, and one of our leaders had tattoos, and the missionary said, you have to cover those up, because if you view those, no one will listen to anything you say. I think a lot of it is cultural, and I don't think tattoos are wrong. As a matter of fact, I have some.
Right.
I have a lot of friends who have them, and I think they're cool. I think they're beautiful. I think that when you're 80 years old, they won't be beautiful.
Right.
but I think they're cool now. I don't think they're wrong. I don't think the Bible thinks that they're wrong. But at the same time, I don't think the Bible says that they're right. The Bible doesn't say, hey, go get tattoos to proclaim right. the glory of God and bring people to Christ.
Yeah.
It's the only verse that talks about it is that Levitical verse.
Yeah.
And everything else is kind of shy on it. So I think it's something you've got to pray through and decide on your own. You know, talk to the Lord. And one thing I would say, if you should get a tattoo, is before you get a tattoo, think about it for a long time. You know, I had a tattoo I wanted to get for a long time, and I wanted it for about 6 years. And I drew it out, and I envisioned it, and I didn't actually get it until about 7 years afterwards. And someone once told me, they said, hey, before you get a tattoo, draw it out, and yeah. then don't get it for a year.
At least.
And if you still want it after a year, then chances are you'll want it for the rest of your life. You know, you don't want to go out on the spur of the moment and get a tattoo with your buddies or with your friends because they're all doing it, because you will regret it.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. And if you're looking into getting stuff done, cheap tattoos aren't good, and good tattoos aren't cheap. So they are very expensive.
Yeah.
And I agree with you 100%. I've been working on one for about a year now that I'm just – it keeps kind of minorly changing. So I'm like, nope, not
yeah.
yet. I'm just going to keep waiting because God's been doing some stuff in my life, and I'd really like to remember that
yeah.
you know, and have that constant like, hey.
You know, and another thing I would add to it as well is that – you need to respect your parents on this issue.
Absolutely.
A lot of people will say, oh, well, it's not a sin, so my parents say I can't get one, so screw my parents, I'm going to go get a tattoo. And they
get all
indignant about it. Yeah. Honor your parents and respect what your parents want. If you want a tattoo, then get one when you move out of the house. But until you move out of the house, if your parents say you can't get one, then don't get one, because you have to honor your parents. And if you get a tattoo, now here's the clincher. If you get a tattoo and your parents don't want you to, and you live in your parents' house, then it's a sin.
Yeah.
It's not a sin otherwise, but if you disobey the Lord, then it's a sin, and then guess what? You have a permanent mark on your body signifying your sin against God.
Yeah, you're
that's what it becomes.
That
mark in your body forever for the rest of your life signifies rebellion and sin in your life. And do you want that on your body for the rest of your life? I don't think so.
Yeah.
So honor your parents and respect your parents. My dad didn't want me to get a tattoo, and he said, hey, the day you move out of the house, you can get one.
Right.
And I moved out of the house, and I was thinking, oh, the day I move out of the house, I'm going to go get
right.
one. I moved out of the house, and I still didn't get one for about 3 years. So,
yeah.
you know, it's something you really want to honor your parents on, that respect your parents. Same thing with piercings, anything like that, body modification. I would also say hair. If your parents don't want you to have long hair, well, guess
what?
Cut
it, hippie.
Cut it. Yeah, if your parents don't want you to have purple hair, then be normal and put it brown or another normal color. Normal
yeah.
people don't have purple hair, although it can look cool sometimes. But, you know, respect your parents, respect what they want, and by doing so, you're honoring the Lord and yourself.
Yeah, and that actually goes forward past your parents as well. I have a dear friend in his 30s who really wanted to get a tattoo, and he had been talking about it, but his wife just absolutely was not a fan of tattoos and asked him, please, I don't want to have to stare at that thing all the time. And because of that, he honored what his wife said and didn't. Because, you know, the Bible also taught, we were looking at this earlier and reading scripture together before the show, and we were actually reading about how, you know, our body is not our own. And if we are married, you know, our body belongs to our spouse. And yeah, so absolutely honor your mother and father, honor your spouse. And so there, that's the long and short of it. Is it okay for Christians to get a tattoo? Sure. Why not? Should you? That's a wholly different matter entirely that you need to take before God.
Yeah, definitely.
So, what do we got? We got a bunch of emails to get to. Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio, by the way. If you'd like to join the conversation, if you would like to ask a question, you can do so through that avenue. Or, of course, studio@mystaticradio.com, the email address. You're listening to Shock Therapy Live. Give us a call, 505-338-3700. You got a nice anonymous email over there on that computer. What do we got?
We got a question from Anonymous. It says, there are verses in the Bible that talk about if you sin, you don't know God, like 1 John 3:6-9 and 1 John 5:18. And there are verses in the Bible that talk about how we all sin. Is the Bible contradictory? And if not, what does God mean by those verses? Let's read the verses she's up. I don't know why I'm going to say she, but I just feel like it's a she.
Right.
Oh, actually, I see the name. So it's not anonymous from me. It's only anonymous from the audience. So
there it is.
She is referencing the verses in 1 John chapter 3, verse 6. It says, whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. And then verse 9, it says, whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. And then in chapter 5, verse 18, we know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. So we read this verse, and the question she asks is, the Bible says that if you sin, you do not know God. And there are verses in the Bible that talk about how we all sin. Is the Bible contradictory? And I would say, no, the Bible is not contradictory. And actually, that verse pretty much answers itself. If you see the first part of the verse in chapter 3, verse 6, it says, whoever abides in him does not sin. Now, I want to point out what John is talking about here.
Right.
John isn't talking about not sinning. He's talking about not letting sin reign is what John's talking about. The Bible talks about sin a lot differently than the way we do. The Bible talks about walking in sin and sinning. They're both two very different things. And what John appears to be referencing here is the idea of walking in sin, which would be a continual habitual sin.
Right.
And the question is your life marked by God or is it marked by sin? And John basically says, if you have a real relationship with God, your life will not be marked by sin. If you do not have a real relationship with God, your life will be completely marked by sin. And
absolutely,
in essence, you do not know him. So it's not saying you do not know God, that you can't see God. It's saying that if you sin, you can't have a relationship with God. Not if you sin, but if your life is marked by sin, if there's something in your life that is controlling your life, a life-controlling sin, and you're walking in it day and night, then you cannot know God. You can't have a relationship with him. But on the flip side, if you know God, if you have a real relationship with him, then you don't have to worry about those life-dominating sins in your life, because sanctification will naturally be taking place in your life.
Right.
It's where we talk about, how do you know the will of God? Well, if you love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, then the things you want to do will naturally be the things of God. So it works both ways. If you truly have a relationship with God, if you truly know God, then you cannot be entrapped within a life-dominating sin. However, if you do not know God, if you don't have a relationship with God, and if you're trapped in a life-dominating sin, then you can't have a relationship with him. Basically, when we come to Christ, Christ demands that we change, and,
right,
and part of changing is taking those things in our life that did mark our life before and giving them over to God.
It's funny. My pastor was actually talking about this today. His message was the tribe of the transplanted, and it was about our heart transplant. And when we come to him, all the way back in Ezekiel, he talks about giving us a new heart. He will place his desires in you. You know, when we come to know him, it's basically, man, you become a member of this tribe of the transplanted, and then you will begin to look at others as Christ looks at others, and you will begin to, as you talk about these habitual sins, turn away from them. And I like the version I have says it a little differently, and I think it makes it it helps out a little bit. 1 John 3, verse 6 in this translation says, everyone who abides in him does not go on sinning. Mm. Everyone who goes on sinning has not seen him or known him. So it's not a, oh man, I totally screwed up today. Oh man, I fell into this snare, this trap from Satan. I obviously have never known God. I suck. I screwed up. That's not what it's talking about. It is talking about habitually, continually living in a lifestyle of, man, I'm just going to totally continue in this fornication, sleeping with my boyfriend or my girlfriend because, you know, I know God loves me and all that stuff, but I really want to have sex. And you continually, habitually do something knowing that it's wrong. You know, we could talk about what repentance means, you know, doing that 180 and turning away from your sin. When we repent of our sins, it's not just like, it's not just a saying I'm sorry. It's literally turning away and walking away from that sin.
You know, and that translation there that you read really conveys kind of what we were saying before, is that it's talking about walking in sin. And once again, when we read the Bible, we got to read it in context. And you have to understand the Book of 1 John deals heavily with this idea of walking in sin, walking in light, walking in darkness. As a matter of fact, we read in 1 John chapter 1, it says, "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth."
Right.
So basically, if we say we know him, but our life is marked by sin, we don't know him, which is what it says there in chapter 3. Then it continues on and it says, If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, and here's the point, this is the marker that distinguishes sin from forgiven sin. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." So we're not saying that if you know God, you're never going to sin, but if you know God, the sin that you've committed is washed by him, which makes it no sin. It makes it null and void.
Absolutely. That's right. I just want to be in the light.
Dude, I love this song,
actually. I want to be in the light. I was just talking with Jesse Lesko, actually. He's writing an article for the next Static paper that's coming out about 1 John, this very thing about walking in the light. And it doesn't mean you're never going to sin, but it's talking about when you are in the light, it exposes that darkness, all the crap in our lives. Because, man, I'll tell you what, we all sin. We all screw up. The difference is, man, confessing your sin and repenting of your sin, walking away from your sin. Yes, we're all gonna sin. You're right. The Bible does say that we have all sinned because we have all sinned, and because we are stupid humans, we will make mistakes. However, habitually, continually walking in that sin instead of in the light is the difference.
So. Yeah, you know, and that's the big marker is that when he says that. He says there in verse 6, "Whoever abides in him does not sin." It's more saying that his sin is not counted against him because it's been washed white as snow by the blood of Christ. So
there it is.
There's an answer for that, Anonymous.
There it is, Anonymous. Thank you. You are listening to Shock Therapy Live. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, there's many avenues to do so. Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio if you'd like to ask a question through there. Or if you'd like to keep it anonymous, and that's totally cool too, you can email us studio@MyStaticRadio.com or give us a call, 505-338-3700. We've got a lot of email questions to get through tonight. I want to get to them. We got to take a break, but I'm trying to find a quick one. Just see. All right. Check it. How about this one? We got an email question that says, "I have a few Christian friends who have recently started practicing yoga. They say it's a great chance to stretch and pray. However, the ultimate aim of yoga is to strike a balance between mind and body and achieve self-enlightenment. I believe they're falling prey to another gospel when really there's no other path to ultimate well-being than hearing, understanding, and believing the gospel of Jesus Christ. I feel they're being tolerant of a worldly trend and being deceived by spirits who want them to think they can find peace by going into the self instead of out to Jesus. I see this as simply sprinkling some Jesus on a Hindu worship act and calling it okay. I've tried talking to them on multiple occasions, and they want nothing to do with it. I'm not sure if I'm exaggerating the situation far too much, and it's just a matter of opinion, or if I should continue to try to talk to them and pray about it. Booyah. What say you?"
Well, you know, I want to say we kind of addressed the idea and the theme of this question last week. And so I'm going to hit on what we talked about last week. We talked about that verse in Colossians. Can you want to pull that up?
Yeah, man.
The verse that talks about pagan holidays and
Absolutely.
All that other stuff. So I would say that yoga, maybe when it was first invented, was used as a way to achieve mind and peace and as a way to achieve a spiritual relationship with whatever. But I would say that as times have changed, that's no longer the case.
Right.
I think that a lot of people do yoga purely for the exercise and the benefits that it gives the body physically. So I think that if somebody does it with the intention of worshiping false gods, well, then it's wrong. But if someone does it for the intentions of simply trying to be healthy, then I don't think it's any worse than going for a jog or going to play basketball.
Yeah.
And I would say what my two cents would be on it is kind of what we talked about of Christmas. You know, when Christmas was originally founded, it was founded as a day to worship Norse gods, and it was found as a day, a pagan holiday. Christians decided that they weren't going to use it as that, but they were going to use it for the Lord, and they did that, and it was actually extremely beneficial, and now it becomes a day where most people in the world think about Jesus.
Right.
So I think that if you use things that the world is given for the world purposes, then they're wrong. But if you use them for another reason, sometimes then they can be okay. I've heard of a lot of churches that have Christian yoga classes at the church, and I think that's great.
Right.
So I don't think that that's wrong, and I think the verse in Colossians really does a good job of highlighting that.
Yeah, Colossians 2 verse 16 says, "Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in question of food and drink, or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ." Have you ever rocked yoga before?
I haven't.
Okay, I have. I only did it once, and the whole time I was kind of making fun of the whole, like, oh, sweet, you're turning me into a Buddhist, you know, like being funny with the lady, and she did not have that type of, you know, it was very much so not a religious thing for her, but a health, well-being
yeah.
type thing. And, you know, the cool thing is, as you're talking about your friends who are wanting to grow in Christ and use that time for prayer, Paul talks about meditating on scripture. And I remember the first time I said that to someone, they freaked out because it's like, whoa, we're not supposed to meditate and ohm and do all these things. And Paul told us to meditate on scripture day and night.
Yeah.
Wait, what does that mean? We're supposed to, I'm confused. My mind exploded. You know, I agree with you 100%. It has to be, that's more of like an issue of the heart. You can't,
exactly.
You can't take that in blanket statement and say, everyone who does yoga is going to turn Buddhist or Hindu or, you know.
You know, a physical activity in of itself cannot worship a false god.
Right.
And what I mean by that is that in ancient times, they would use sex as a way to worship false gods. So does that mean that since they use sex to worship false gods that no one can ever have sex because that worships false gods?
No,
it deals with the heart. They also sacrificed animals. Well, wait a second. The Jews also sacrificed animals to the one true God. So does that mean since they sacrificed animals to false gods that the Jews shouldn't sacrifice animals to the one true God? No, and it really boils down to the heart. A physical activity cannot be in and of itself worshiping false gods, but the heart behind it is what gives that activity the power to do so.
There it is. We have to take a quick break, but coming right back, more of your thoughts and questions. Caller, stay on the line. We'll get to you right after this. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, Facebook.com/MindStaticRadio, or you can email us studio@mindstaticradio.com. We still have a phone line open, 505-338-3700. You're listening to Shock Therapy Live. We'll be right back.
Shock Therapy Live. A little heated by tonight's topic? No? Then we're not doing our job. What do you want to talk about? Comment now on Facebook.com/MindStaticRadio or call 505-338-3700. Now, more Shock Therapy live.
What?
It'd kind of be fun, but.
Right, I agree. Oh, hey, welcome back to Shock Therapy Live.
We were just talking about cool stuff.
And, yeah.
And pixies.
Stuff.
And candy.
I am Steve-O. With me, as always, Pastor Nate Heitz.
Gumdrops and lollipops.
Yeah.
And yellow brick roads.
Christmas Day. Is there a service here at Christmas Day?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
There is a service here. There is an 11:15 service here.
Cool.
I think.
Dude, can I just say something really cool about Christmas Day and service? My son, my 8-year-old, came up to me yesterday out of the blue and said, "Dad, I want to get baptized. And I want to get baptized on Christmas Day so I never forget it."
Oh, that's so cool.
I started bawling like a little girl.
Wow.
Out of nowhere.
That's
I've never
so
even
cool.
like, he's 8 years old and it was, and It's not something that I've ever pushed. You know what I mean? It wasn't even like, all right, we got to say the sinner's prayer now. You're 5 years old. You got to get it done now, you know? He's now 8 years old, and he, you know, lives for Christ as an eight-year-old. And I said, well, wait, you're 8 years old, you know, like, I don't know if that's too young. Let's talk about this, and let's talk to my pastor, and what do you believe that, you know, yeah, baptism is, and started getting into it. And I'm just stoked because
that's cool.
We're going to baptize him. And
dude, my dog actually asked me to baptize him the other
day. Your dog did?
Yeah.
When dude.
He peed on my carpet. And so I took him out to the hot tub, and I baptized him for 30 minutes.
Wow. Welcome to Shock Therapy Live.
Hey, anyone who's like a member of PETA, don't get mad at me because that was a joke. I didn't really kill my dog in the hot tub. I baptized him.
Oh, man. Thanks for scaring my child who now does not want to get baptized. Oh, you're listening
Dad,
to Shock Therapy Live.
Please don't baptize me at Nate's hot tub.
Yeah. If you'd like to join in the conversation, 505-338-3700. The phone lines are open. Or, of course, facebook.com/mystaticradio. We also have quite a few emails tonight to get through. You want to hit up one of those emails we got first?
And then yes.
We'll go from there. We got
Let's
a few.
Let's see. All right, we got a question, and the question says, I was under the impression that my girlfriend believed in God, but just recently found out that what she meant by that was that she's agnostic, believes in a higher power, but not in the Bible or Christ. My question is this, should I continue to date her and pray for her and encourage her with the hope that God will reveal himself to her, or should I end the relationship? I am cautious about doing the latter because I don't want the heartbreak, anger, and other emotions caused by the breakup to cause her to become alienated completely from Christ, because she may view my actions and decisions as selfish and ultimately relate them to the way Christ would act. If this is what I need to do, then how should I go about it? I have no idea which path to take and would greatly appreciate godly and biblical counsel on the matter. All right, answer to the first question. Should you break up with her? Yes, you should. Biblically, we're told not to be unequally yoked. And I want to point out something really cool, and this is just testament to what God's doing through this show. We actually had a listener call in who was dating a guy who was not a Christian, who was not a believer. She had actually had kids with this guy.
Living with him.
He was paying for all of her bills. And she actually, called in and said, hey, what should I do? Should I move out? Should I not live with him?
Should I
He's
marry
not
him?
A Christian. Should I marry him? And that whole idea. And we told her biblically that was unequally yoked,
yeah,
and she needed to break up with him. She actually came to Renovate, accepted Christ, left him, took her kids out of his house, and she's now, living for the Lord and doing a lot better. And it's really, really cool to see that she did that.
That was a serious step in faith.
Huge.
You know, we were praying for her. Huge. We got an email from her. It was fantastic.
God really worked in her life to do that. So I would say in your situation, it's the same, that you're unequally yoked and you shouldn't be in a relationship with her. And you say, well, I'm not married to her. It's just dating. Well, dating leads to marriage. And if you're dating her without the intention of marrying her, well, then you shouldn't be dating her either.
Absolutely.
So, either way, you shouldn't be dating her, because it's being unequally yoked to a non-believer. And I would say in reference to the idea that how should you talk to her, and how should you treat it so that it doesn't break her heart and make her angry against God? Well, just because you have to break up with her doesn't mean you have to be a jerk about it.
Right.
You know, you don't have to say, hey, you're going to hell and I'm not going with you, so we're going to break up and we got to split ends and blah, and freak out and cause her to cry and cause horrible things to happen. I would say just be honest with her. Say, hey, when we first started dating, I asked you if you believed in God, and it was my fault, but I assumed that meant that you believed in the Judeo-Christian God, the Jesus Christ that I believe in, that he died for our sins and that he rose again. And now that I know that you don't, I want to let you know that I love you and that I care for you, but that I love and I treasure my relationship with God more than I treasure my relationship with anybody else. And because of that, I have to do what God has told me to do, and that is not be unequally yoked.
Yeah.
Then I would let her know that it's not over in the idea that you'll never talk to her again. Say, hey, I want to let you know that I really do love you, and I really do have feelings for you, and I really do care for you, and I'll be here for you if you ever need me. If you ever want to talk, if you ever want to talk about God, then I'm here for you. If you ever need prayer and counseling, I'm here for you, and I still want to be a friend to you, but it would be unfair for me to lead you on knowing that I can't marry you.
Yeah, dude, There it is.
And you can do it in a way of respect that actually honors her.
It's funny because I just got an email that says, to make a long story short, an atheist took me out on a few dates. I became very infatuated with him. We talked about our religions, and even though I knew the Bible tells us not to yoke ourselves to unbelievers, I decided to go for him. After a few days, he told me that he knew dating outside religions was a bad idea, and he broke up with me. I was heartbroken. I've not been able to stop thinking about him or trying to think of ways to get back together with him. Is dating outside religion a sin? Am I just trying to delude myself and to believe what I want to believe? And I realize we just covered this, but there was something she said right here.
We actually answered that question on air a couple weeks ago,
I've seen plenty of Christian-to-Christian relationships that don't work, and I feel like relationships are more about the people and less about their religion. But, again, I don't know if I'm just trying to delude myself. Help. You just answered it pretty eloquently. I have a hard time when it says, you know, I've seen plenty of Christian to Christian relationships that don't work. That doesn't mean you give up and you just go your own way. You know, this whole Christian thing.
Yeah, I've seen plenty of Christians that don't work. So does that mean that we should not be Christians?
Yeah.
Oh, I've seen a lot of Christians who are bad people. So that means that Jesus is stupid. No.
And, the whole idea of, I feel like relationships are more about the people and less about their religion, is absolutely, yes, that is a delusion because
who they are is part of their religion.
Yeah, Christ clearly talks about our relationship with him, and the marriage covenant is absolutely a shadow of Christ and the church. And
I want to point out a fatal flaw of thinking in this argument. A lot of people think that religion is part of who they are, but it should not be that way. When you have a relationship with Christ, who you are should be a part of your relationship with Christ.
Absolutely.
Your relationship with Christ shouldn't be a part of your character. Your character should revolve around your relationship with Christ.
Absolutely. There it is. You're listening to Shock Therapy Live with Steve Owen, Pastor Nate. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, 505-338-3700. You can Facebook us at facebook.com/mystaticradio or email us. studio@mystaticradio.com. Hello, you're in the air.
Steve-O, that is super sweet about his son. That is awesome.
Thank you.
Yes.
I would have done the same thing.
Yeah, I cried like a little girl. Seriously, I didn't know what else to do because he talked to me a little bit about what it meant and just wanting everyone to know that he loves Jesus and that he's going to follow Jesus and that he's washed and that his sins are forgiven and he's clean. And it was like, I love you.
Hey, is this Tara?
I don't know.
Yes, it is. Hey there.
Hey, how you doing?
Pretty well. Question. I've been to the women's ministry, and they, Carmen, I don't know her last name, was saying that yoga is wrong. And I'm sorry to bring this up again, but I, like, so crazy by my phone.
Yeah.
And I agree with what you guys said, but also I'm confused because obviously Christians are saying different things. Wanting your take on it because... what about those who you're held responsible or accountable for what you know? If you know those poses are for a Hindu god and stuff.
Yeah. Once again, a lot of Christians say a lot of different things about this because the Bible doesn't say anything about it explicitly about yoga. The only thing that we have is really those verses like Colossians that talk about that idea.
Yeah.
And once again, we're trying to judge the heart of somebody. Once again, Christmas was founded on Norse religion. So we can say we shouldn't celebrate Christmas because it was founded on other religions and that's the real heart of it. Or we can say Easter, we should not celebrate Easter because of the god Esther or Issatar or whatever.
Ashtar.
Yeah. Giddy up. Look at you know more than I do. But, you know, a lot of things in this world or tattoos, once again, well, they derive from worshiping false gods. Well, that might not be the heart of them now. And once again, we have to look at, as the culture changes, how does lifestyle change as well? Once again, shaving your beards isn't viewed as wrong anymore.
Right.
Having long hair, cutting your hair isn't viewed as wrong anymore. Guys having piercings in their ears isn't viewed as wrong anymore. Wearing scarlet isn't viewed as wrong anymore.
Right.
You know, a lot
cloth
of things.
Of two different kinds of linen.
yeah. You know, a lot of things.
Seriously.
That at one time worshipped false gods no longer do. And we have to keep in mind that as the world changes, so do some of those things. And the heart of it is what's wrong.
Let me ask you this, Nate. Could you equate this to meat sacrificed to idols?
Because
Paul talks about, hey, don't eat meat if you know it's been sacrificed to idols. But if you can eat that meat, you can still go for it, right? Is what he says. Like, even if this meat was sacrificed to idols, You're
well,
good.
Well,
you know?
It boils down to what Jesus said to Peter. You know, Peter had the vision where he saw all this meat, and he said, "Lord, I'm not going to eat that which is unclean." And the angel said to him, "Don't call unclean what the Lord has called clean."
Right.
And this idea that it's not so much about the physical act as it is about the heart.
Right.
So that's why we say it's all about the heart. That the physical act of doing yoga or getting tattoos or any of this other stuff, it's not so much about the physical activity; it's about the heart.
Yeah. If you're doing yoga and you're like,
Buddha, fat guys with loincloths,
I know this
heads.
Is the sun salutation to Buddha and it's wrong, but praise Buddha. Yeah, now then it may be wrong if you're, you know, doing something like that, but... If you're
in a room full of a bunch of people that have bald heads and like yellow robes, then you're probably at a yoga thing you shouldn't
be in. Wrong yoga
you're
class.
In the wrong yoga class.
You need to get out of, that's called broga, and you need to run away.
Yeah. Go to sports and wellness.
Yeah, go to sports and wellness.
Oh my God.
Go to, oh wow. Go to with Yoda to yoga.
Yeah. Does that help a little bit?
Before we went
thank
crazy?
Thank you. So sweet. I needed that. But also, let me exhort those Christians to obey God. It's better to obey God than not, because God's probably saving you from stumbling. Because, what do you call it? Unbelieving people, they might seem good and blah, 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 but they're going to pull you down.
Yeah.
So it's just like...
Were you talking about the people who are dating non-believers?
Yes.
Okay.
No, good. I was talking to you guys.
Yeah, I was like, man, condemnation. Oh, gosh. I'm going to go hurt myself.
Bless you, bro.
There it is. All right.
Hey,
well, thanks
for
the call,
Tara.
505-338-3700 if you'd like to join the conversation or... let's see, facebook.com/mysaticradio. We also have our anonymous avenue, studio@mysaticradio.com. Now, in the final segment, we're gonna tackle a pretty serious one, but I know you don't want to. Hello, welcome to Shock Therapy Live.
Good morning, or I'm sorry, after evening. My bad, guys.
Evening.
After evening.
What?
Hey, I work nights. This is different for me. Anyways, my biggest thing was I was out of my car. I was dealing with some things outside of my car, and I missed the segment about Christians and tattoos. Can you guys touch on that right now? Because basically, moral of the story is I'm not Christian, I'm Catholic, and I actually do have a tattoo, and I wanted to get what you guys spoke about since I missed it.
Yeah. Hey, first of all, friend, you are Christian.
Yeah.
Catholics are Christians, Baptists are Christians, Protestants are Christians. We're all Christians, so we're all part of the same body.
It all falls under the same Lord and Savior.
Yeah, as long as do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and God, and he died for your sins and rose again on the third day?
Yes.
Dude, welcome to Christianity.
Hey, this is the next time you call, you're a biblicist. All
there
right?
you go.
You're not a Catholic, you're not a Christian, you're a
That's
biblicist.
Right.
You believe what the Bible says.
You're a follower of Messiah Jesus Christ.
On your question, we hit on it. Leviticus is the only verse in the entire Bible that talks about tattoos, and it says, don't get markings on your body that worship false gods.
Yeah.
In that same passage of Scripture, it says, don't shave your beards. It says, worship God only on the seventh day, which is Saturday, so all churches that have services on Sundays are going to hell. It also right. says not to eat red meat. It also says,
wear clothing of two different kinds of linen.
Yeah, I mean, a bunch of crazy stuff that was part of the old Levitical law.
Yeah.
And that's what it has to do specifically with. And we kind of just went into in depth that tattoos are not wrong, and I would say to an extent of what the tattoo is of.
Right.
So most people don't get tattoos today that worship false gods, but people do have tattoos of naked chicks and evil things and 666 and all that nasty stuff. But at the same time, people have tattoos that glorify the Lord.
Right.
So tattoos in and of themselves aren't wrong. But I would say what your tattoo is of can be
hard. Actually, in my opinion, it glorifies my Lord.
Awesome.
I have a cross above my heart with the word sacrifice. At one point in my life, several months ago, before I got it, I was going through some real hard times.
Dude, that's killer.
Yeah.
So
that sounds like a beautiful tattoo.
I basically got it, and I realized the sacrifices that I made will never be near as close to the sacrifices that he made. And every time I get to a hard point, I think about my Lord and everything he's done for
me. Amen.
Yeah, absolutely.
Dude, check it out. And what you just shared with me is something that tattoos are something that can break down barriers in a lot of people's lives. You know, I've had friends who were surfers that had tattoos on their body, and they went out surfing, and someone asked about their tattoos, and they were able to share the love of Christ and lead them to the Lord in that moment.
Right.
So your tattoo tattoo might be something that someone might see it someday that might never ask any questions about God. But they might see your tattoo and say, hey, cool tattoo. What does that mean? And then you can share what you just shared with us, and it could open a door for them to accept Christ.
Absolutely.
So it could actually be used not just as something that isn't bad or something that is just borderline, it's okay, but it's, you know, it can actually be used for something for good. So so your tattoo, I think, is something that God could use for his glory.
Wonderful, gentlemen. I appreciate your time. You guys have a wonderful evening.
Thank you for calling.
Thanks,
our Biblicist friend.
Thank you, guys. Have a good night.
Right, God bless, man.
I love this show.
Me too.
It's called Shock Therapy Live, if you're just joining us. I'm Steve-O, your host. With me, as always, Pastor Nate Heitzig to my right.
Yes.
And the point of the show is just this. We want to hang out. We want to talk about anything and everything in culture, in your life, whatever is going on biblically. What's going on in your life? Let's talk about it. It doesn't matter our opinions, but what does the Bible have to say about it? So
yeah, I have something I want to talk about.
Yeah, sweet.
Do you think that now Regis Philbin just recently resigned from the Today Show. Do you think we could get him to co-host Shock Therapy with us?
Yes! No,
this
that'd be terrible.
This is Shock Therapy. Who wants to be a millionaire?
Hello, you're in the air.
Am I really?
You are.
Yeah, you're
on the air right now.
Right now.
Wow, that's crazy. I actually had a question for you.
Okay.
This is kind of embarrassing. Just kidding. Okay, well, I believe in Jesus, and I also smoke pot, and I get a lot of...
flack for it?
I sure do.
Do you have glaucoma and or did a doctor prescribe you medication for marijuana usage?
No.
Then you should definitely not be smoking the ganj.
Okay.
Let me break it down for you, like, for real style.
Hey, can we not have the reggae music playing?
We
in the
have
background?
To have the reggae music playing.
Why?
Because I'm trying to engage her
it's
on her level.
Her.
I am engaging her. On her level. Here's the deal.
You're a mean person.
Is it legal to smoke weed in the state of New Mexico?
No.
No, it is not. Therefore, you are breaking a law. You need to go read Romans chapter 13 that specifically talks about that, because it talks about the one under authority. And if you are breaking the rules of the governing authority, it says there is no one placed in authority except placed there by God. And so God has placed these people in authority for a reason, whether good or bad. It could be like King Saul. He placed him in that authority. It could be King David. It could be no matter what it is.
Yeah.
The governing authorities are over us, and there is a law right now that says you cannot smoke weed. And because of that, as a Christian, we have to honor that governing authority, because we know that whoever is in that authority has been placed there by God. Does that make sense?
Yes. I also have another question, though.
Okay.
But abortion's legal. I don't agree with that, but...
I will say this. Above and beyond the civil code, the statutory codes, is the moral code. And God's laws supersedes that. Now, that could be a huge debate back and forth.
No,
I for one say it is absolutely sin. It is absolutely wrong. It is murder. And no, just because the state says it's okay... doesn't make it okay.
Now I want to say how this plays into, because you can say, maybe marijuana is in God's code that it's okay. So does that make marijuana okay? But this is the thing. We are to obey the code of the land, the law of the land, up until the point where it supersedes the law of God. Now, marijuana is something that is not mentioned in the Bible as being okay. So that means that if the Bible doesn't talk about it, but the law of the land says that it's wrong, then we do not do it because the law of the land says it. Now, abortion is something different because the Bible talks about murder and the Bible talks about taking life, and the government says it's okay. So that's something the Bible says is not okay, but the government says is okay. So we take the Bible's view on that before we take the government's view on that.
And
I will go as well into marijuana in this idea. And I want to point out, we talked about this issue at length on a couple of our shows. You can go to our website.
Absolutely.
It's at mystaticradio.com, and you can go to our page for Shock Therapy Live, and we have a whole entire show that we talk a lot about marijuana use. But what I would say about marijuana use, we talked about this before, is that marijuana is something that alters the state of your mind.
Yep.
You know, people say, well, oh, it's the same as drinking a beer or a glass of wine. Well, it's not, because you can drink a beer or a glass of wine and not have that alter your state of mind. Whereas with marijuana, when you smoke marijuana, it alters your state of mind. And by doing so, it's putting you under control of a substance. We're told in the Bible to not be under the control of anything besides the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And this is something that puts you under its control. Now, I would say, just in the same idea, that we say medically it's okay, That's because it's something used for a specific purpose medically. And I would say in the same idea, that if Percocet were legal to just take, on a daily use, that would be wrong as well because that alters your state of mind. But when used for medical purposes, it's okay because the doctor's prescribed it specifically for medical reasons.
Right.
Same with morphine or any of those other, methamphetamines that are used medically to treat pain and treat diseases, which is what marijuana is used for medically as well.
Let me just say this to you. Thank you for calling because that
Thank
took
you.
A lot for you to call up and ask this question on the air. And so right away, I just want to like stand up and say yes, because this is what it is. You say, I am a Christian. Is it wrong to do this? And, now here's the kicker though. Now by knowing what God's word says, choosing to habitually, continually walk in that now, knowing the truth of God is just outright sin. You know what I'm saying? And so
yeah.
Thank you so much for calling and
you
just
guys.
Digging
and,
into
and
the
I,
word.
And I want to point out why we say it's wrong to be controlled by that. When you're under the influence of marijuana or any other drug for that instance, it changes the way that you view the world and it changes your perspective on the world. A lot of people
right.
say they're happier when they're high, that they feel better, they have a better outlook. You'll do things that you normally wouldn't do when you're high. You're more jovial. These are things that you say, well, those are good things. Well, they're not, because those symptoms that marijuana gives you are things that the Holy Spirit should give you.
Right.
And what you're doing by putting anything in the place of that to make you happy, you're putting something in the place of what God is supposed to do in your life. God is supposed to be the one to bring you joy. God is supposed to be the one to bring you happiness. And when we put something else in the place of God to achieve that for us, it becomes wrong. So that's not just with marijuana. That's for food. If we say, you know, I can't be happy unless I'm eating, unless I'm gorging myself, well, that's wrong. If we can't be happy unless there's a certain person around us all the time,
right.
Well, then that person is taking the place of God in our life. So anything in our life that we need to make us happy becomes wrong. So it's not just marijuana. It's anything for that instance that would change our state of mind, alter our reality into thinking that we need that thing to make us feel better or to make us happy.
Yeah, dude. And as someone who had a monstrous collection of bongs in high school and college, I can tell you I have never felt more quote unquote high than I have with my relationship with Jesus Christ, because he, man, is the ultimate high. He really is. I'm being completely serious right now.
I was
this person. I grew up in a Christian home and man, believed in Jesus Christ, but I was not happy unless I was high and unless I had the munchies and was just acting like a fool. And let me tell you, man, you can absolutely just put it away. Put that to death. Get past it, because I promise you, when you take a step out in faith and say, all right, I know that this is not cool in your eyes, God, I want to honor you, I'm going to put this to death, God's going to say, right on, now let's kick you into high gear and move you forward with something that I have planned for you, because he's an amazing dude. Our God is so good. So thank you.
Thank you. God bless.
God bless you,
God
too.
Bless
Have a great
you.
Night.
Have a good
no
night.
No more doobies.
Okay.
All right.
We are.
Yeah, you can do it. I promise you. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, including giving up the weed.
Yes, this is true.
There it is. All right. Have a great night.
You too. Bye.
All right. Did I already say this like
what?
2 minutes ago?
Huh.
I love the show.
Yeah.
Did I say that?
Yeah, you did.
All right, cool. This is Shock Therapy Live. If you missed a part of the show, check it out. You can join us, mystaticradio.com.
Calls everywhere.
I know, I know.
I
welcome to Shock Therapy
calls.
Live.
We love you.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. I just called because earlier there was a conversation about, I guess, this guy was asking a question about whether he should leave his girlfriend or not, because she's not Christian, but she believed in God, but it wasn't the God that we believe in.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I disagree with you guys.
Why?
Okay.
Because I wasn't a Christian, and my husband was. And
well, there's a huge difference between dating and actually, were you married?
No.
Okay.
We were not married, and his dad disagreed. He told him to leave me, and I came to God, and we're all Christians, of course, now, and we have two kids, and... So I totally disagree with you.
And I want to point out to this that We can't take whether something's right or wrong based on a lifestyle circumstance. Throughout the Bible, God used people who made bad decisions, who made ungodly decisions, and he brought good through that. I mean, look at the life of Joseph. His brothers stole him into slavery, threw him into a pit, and then at the end of it, God used it for good. So his brothers could have very easily said, well, you know, I don't think it was bad for us to throw you in a pit because look what God did through it. He saved the Jewish nation, so it was righteous for us to throw you in the pit. Well, no, that's not the case. God took something that wasn't righteous, something that wasn't good, and he brought good about it. So God can, and I've seen God do things like that. Absolutely. What your circumstance is bring people into relationship with Christ, but that doesn't mean it's right. And I've seen people as well that have followed the Lord's view of what the Bible says and called off a relationship, and then a couple months later that person accepted Christ and they started the relationship again and they got married. So we can't base something that's happened in our life and say because it worked out in my life means that it's biblical and that it's right and it's okay for everyone to do. We have to let the Bible be the decider of that.
Right.
But understand that God does sometimes work in spite of us, and when he does that, we can give him praise and we can give him glory, but we shouldn't base everyone else's life or their lifestyle off of what happened personally for us.
Dude, I gotta tell you, as someone who my marriage was in shambles, I made some very foolish decisions, and it almost cost me my marriage. But through that, God used that to rebuild, and my relationship with my wife has never been stronger. It is amazing. My relationship with Jesus Christ has grown tenfold, but I would never, ever go to anybody else and say, dude, commit adultery. It will do wonders for your marriage.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure if I had honored God and listened to his commandments and followed his word, I probably could have gotten to the same place in my life without having to be an idiot. You know what I mean?
And this is a problem in the church today, in that a lot of people will be living in a sinful lifestyle, and God won't punish them for that right away. And so they say, well, God hasn't punished me for it, so that means that it's okay and that he approves of it.
Right.
And we mistake God's grace and his mercy for God's approval. And once again, God can and God does often work in spite of us, but we should never let our lifestyles be a judge of what is right and wrong.
Right.
And it can just become very dangerous in that idea.
Thank you so much for the phone call.
Thank you.
All right. Very cool. Hey, you're listening to Shock Therapy Live. We only have a couple minutes left, and I'm going to go to this question that Nate really doesn't want to talk about.
Oh, I love you, Steve-O.
We got an email a couple weeks ago and answered it very briefly at the end of the show, and got some, I don't want to say hate mail, but
hate mail.
A kid sent in an email talking about masturbation, and he says, giving a brief outline, he preferred to masturbate once a week, give or take, not have, you know, any nocturnal emissions. He said it's not lustful masturbation because he doesn't have any porn or he doesn't think about any girls or anything like that.
Except for his future wife.
He sometimes thinks about his future wife and what God has for him.
Stop.
And so he doesn't believe that it's wrong because, you know, he's not thinking lustfully. And we said, dude, that's still sin. It is wrong.
Yeah.
Well, we got an email that said, hey, guys, caught the last few minutes of your show. The final answer on masturbation threw me for a loop. I got to disagree with what you said and challenge you on the passage of scripture you used to justify the answer, which we used 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We'll talk about that. Fact is, there's a physical need for a man to discharge semen, and it becomes very painful for men if this discharge does not happen on a reasonably regular basis. This happens basically from sometime shortly after puberty on. I think the person who told you that they participated in what I will call sinless masturbation is to be commended. Although this is challenging, it's probably a decent way to handle the need to discharge that men have. Let's jump to marriage. What if a wife in a marriage is unable or unwilling to meet her husband's needs in the sexual arena? Are you then saying that a man has no recourse to have his needs met and then is trapped with no way to relieve his pressure? That is ridiculous and cruel. If a married man meets his own need while thinking of his wife or nothing at all, I cannot see anything in scripture that would call that a sin. Lust is certainly a sin, but to say that you must be married to have your physical need for discharge to be met, I believe is unreasonable and even harmful. Okay, you may say that nocturnal emissions can take care of this problem. Well, that doesn't work for everyone, and to wait for that to occur can still cause a great deal of pain. Many Christian men I greatly respect, including pastors, do not view masturbation as sin. It can be a vehicle to sin, like many other normal activities, but the act itself is not sinful. Bottom line is, it doesn't really have an effect on your relationship with God, and to say that you shouldn't be doing it will only invoke guilt in those who hear you espouse your position. The guilt, in my opinion, induced by taking the position that you have taken is much more harmful than the act itself will ever be. Many a Christian male has agonized over this topic. While it can be a tough one, I believe the grace of God needs to be invoked here. God will not be excluded, will not exclude us from his presence because we masturbated one too many times. Most all Christian men are banking on this to be the case. Just my two cents. Thank you. Now, we got this email, and I know you don't like talking about this because anytime we even say the word, it's like, masturbation. But here's the deal. And he talks about a few things in there about masturbation being not a sin if you're not thinking of lustful thoughts and if you're just trying to, you know, make this discharge and scientifically and there's a buildup and da-da-da. I'm going to call your bluff and say BS. It is false. It's so false.
Both
as
not.
Someone who has – thank you. That's what the it's BS not, stood for, yeah. By the way. As someone who has struggled with lust, as I just talked about my sin in my past, as someone who has dealt with this – very, very much so. You cannot say that, oh, you know what, if I'm just doing this thinking about my wife or if I'm, you are still not hearing yourself as you say, myself. I, myself, myself, myself. You are talking here about pleasing yourself. And even when you talked about the wife and how, you know, if she's unable or unwilling, well, then if she's unwilling, then your wife is in sin. And that's something you guys need to discuss. That does not give you the right in turn to go out and do something on your own, because again, you're talking about yourself and pleasing yourself over pleasing God. And to say that, oh, scientifically God created us, I would challenge that and say Jesus was sinless. And if you can honestly say
that, and he was fully
that,
man, he was fully man, 100%
fully man. So according to that ideology, then Jesus must have masturbated, right? Because, well, he was a man, and we have
to... And I want
to
point out something, too. Not just that he masturbated. When you say that it's something you need to do on a weekly basis, if someone drinks alcohol on a weekly basis, we call them an alcoholic. If you masturbate on a weekly basis, you're a masturbator.
Right.
So to identify and say Jesus was a masturbator, or identify yourself as a masturbator, that's what you're saying.
And it just, rubbed me the wrong way when we got this, honestly, because... I can't sit back and hear other ideologies and ideas that, and no, it's totally okay. I'm thinking about a toaster. It's totally cool because I'm not lustful in this. No, it is still very lustful because you are still getting off. That is the goal, is to get off. All right. Because it's not my man parts hurt. Science. I got to take care of this for science. Toaster. That's impossible. Yeah. It's not what it is. You are still doing something yourself to please yourself, to relieve yourself, to get rid of this quote-unquote tension. And as a Christian man, I can tell you that it is absolutely possible to not. We are called to take every thought captive.
Yeah.
Because it's not a scientific, oh, this builds up every 3 days and you have to release it, blah, 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 blah. You're right. Those pains do subside, though.
Yeah.
They absolutely do. And I would challenge you to read a book. It's called Every Man's Battle.
Yep.
And it is one of the great – I absolutely love it.
Yeah.
Sorry. I get fired up on this. Go ahead.
But, you know, I just want to close with, it's very dangerous as well to judge, once again, that something's good or not by what people are saying. You know, once again, you say a lot of pastors say it's okay. Okay, great. A lot of pastors say a lot of stupid stuff that doesn't make it good.
F-bomb,
and then also,
we talk about this,
it's hurting. So if it's hurting, then it must be okay for me to do it. Okay, when people are detoxing off of drugs, it hurts a lot.
Absolutely.
So when they're detoxing off of drugs, so they say, oh, well, it really hurts for me to do this, so I should just go get baked. I should go shoot up because it hurts a lot for me not to do it, so I'm going to do it because that's good. No, that's really stupid. And if those people wait for a little while longer, it's going to get better.
Absolutely.
And it's the same with masturbation. If you furiously masturbate 3 times a week and then you stop doing it, it's going to hurt for a while.
Yeah.
But eventually it's going to stop hurting. You're going to glorify God through your body rather than being a perv.
High five! There it is.
Oh. My stupid mic. Shock
I hate
therapy.
Your phone. Shock
My
therapy
phone?
Live. I mean, you know what I mean.
Your phone.
We got to get out of here.
Comments made do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Real Doctors, Moms, Calvary of Albuquerque, any political party, puppies, static radio, or, well, just about anybody else except for the moron who made us use the delay.